Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
All right, hello everyone. Welcome to Build Exclusively with Antonio T. Smith, Jr.
Glad to have each and every one of you on. I'm about to get out of the way of greatness and introduce you to our master trainer for the morning, okay? All the way from G-Town, Galveston, Texas. This young lady, hey, okay? She loves to be creative, help you out when you need it. When you didn't think of stuff, she thinks of, like, oh, that's it. That's what I wanted to do. So, yeah, always helpful in that. Heart of gold, and we call her Care Bears with the rainbows and everything. So, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Deanna Marie.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, we have been talking about transcending inconsistency, and today we're going to talk about living in the present and what living in the present, how living in the present helps you transcend inconsistencies. Excuse me. So let's start off by how are ways that not being present completely just knocks you off your path when you're hit with an inconsistency? How does not being present knock you off path when it comes to inconsistency?
One more time. I'll get it the third time.
How does not being present, Antonio words, how does not being present where your feet are how does not being present, how does dwelling in the past knock you off your feet when you get hit with an inconsistency? Okay. Yes, better way to ask.
Okay.
When you continue to dwell in the past, you just keep thinking, I used to be making money hand over fist. I don't know what's happening right now. Yeah, no. You get if you did it then, you can do it again. So you got to be in the now. Like Jerome was telling me the other day, he's like, yeah, the way revenue has come through ATS now has changed, but you stayed the same. I'm in the past. So I got to get to the present where my feet are so I can continue to get what I did get back then and continue to get it again. But like, you know, it's cliche, but when times change, you got to change with it. So you have to be present now, focus on what's going on now and not what happened back then. You know, like when people talk about, man, the good old days, them days ago, focus on where you are now, okay? So yeah, you have to focus on where you are now to stay consistent and change with the times. We don't have 8-tracks anymore. We don't even have CDs anymore. Okay, we stream music. Okay, and so you have to change with the times so that you can remain consistent with the times and remain relevant. So.
All right. Anyone else? All right. So when we consistently dwell on past mistakes, regrets, or those experiences that we have not released, those experiences that changed our lives drastically that we believe, it leads to inconsistency and not the natural inconsistencies of life, but the inconsistencies of life. Because one of the things that dwelling in the past does, it distracts you from the present. It's hard to be present when you are mentally in the past. If you focus excessively on the past, it diverts your attention from the current moment. And then it makes it hard to be fully engaged in whatever is present in the present task you're doing and experiences. So how many of you, because you were dwelling on something that happened in the past, completely missed a wonderful moment that you could have had with family, friends, loved ones, because you were stuck in the past? How many of you have done that before? I've done it. And then like this morning, while I was meditating on this morning's call, I realized that I've missed like 8 years of Dawn's life because I was so distracted in dwelling in the past that I missed a lot of the experience of him in the present. Who can grab some pen and paper?
I can.
Okay. So this is what, if you can't, just Grace, if you can put these questions in the chat and they can go back to them later.
Okay.
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 So ask yourself this question: what stops you from being present? What past events do you think about every day? What about these events keep you distracted? How do you feel when you think about these events. Now, while you're writing these questions down or pondering these questions, I'm going to tell you a story. I've told the story before, but it's a wonderful story to me because it explains so much in, it just explains a lot. I was reading The Untethered Soul, and there's a story in The Untethered Soul about a gentleman. And this gentleman, one day, he was riding down a highway and he was minding his own business. You know, he was happy. He was in a happy place driving, and this car pulled up next to him. And he recognizes the fact that it looks like his girl, his current girlfriend's car. You know, it was like a gold Mustang. And then he recognized the fact that it looked like it was his girlfriend sitting in the passenger seat. And when he focused in even more, he recognized there was a man driving her car. And they were holding hands. Now, in this moment, it completely devastated him. Every emotion flooded through him, the pain, the hurt, the anger, the frustration, the questions, all flooded into him at this moment. Let's fast forward a few years. He's driving down this same highway. He's with his family. He is happy. He is elated. He has his wife sitting next to him. He has two kids in the back seat. They're all, you know, doing the kid thing, the family trip. And this Mustang pulls next to him while driving. Now, while it's not the same Mustang that his ex-girlfriend used to drive, it triggered the emotion in him. And it put him right back to where he was the day he saw his girlfriend cheating on him. And because he was not in the present, he completely forgot. Like, everything in the car was removed. The happiness that he felt with his family, the joy, even his family no longer existed at this point because he was back in that place. So I'm going to take this story a little further. So they're driving now. The kids are elated, the wife's happy, but she recognizes that there's something different about him. His whole energy, his whole aura has shifted. The kids are excited. They're like, Dad, let's do this. And he's like, yeah, whatever. So now at this particular point in time, he is no longer in the present with his family, but in the past with the heartache. So he's going to be, and because he has not released that energy, now he's going to live in this pain and this hurt from something that happened in the past. And he is going to miss out everything that's going to happen during this vacation. He's going to miss the fact that little Timmy held his breath for 10 seconds. He's going to miss out on the fact that little Mary lost a tooth because he's so distracted with what's going on. He's going to miss out on the big news that his wife is pregnant with a third kid because he's so stuck in that past experience that he's missing out on everything in the present. So how many of you have actually done that? How many of you have focused so much on the past that you miss the wonderfulness of what's right in front of you? So one of the ways to transcend inconsistency is to live in the present. Because when you get hit with inconsistency and you're in the present, it doesn't look like an inconsistency. It just looks like a part of life. So the next thing that happens, a part of dwelling in the past when it comes to your inconsistency, is being in emotional turmoil. See, dwelling on past mistakes can evoke negative emotions, just like the story I just told you. He was dwelling on a past issue, a past hurt that he received, and what it evoked was all of those emotions that came with it. The guilt, the shame, the regret, the pain, everything that came with that came back up. And what that does is that influences our decision-making and our behavior and in unpredictable ways. How many of you know that when you are in emotional turmoil, that you can't even predict your actions? Let me tell y'all something. I done been in some emotional turmoil, and my tail done flipped. I done did some stuff. Okay, ask Grace. I almost slit some ties and busted out some windows with the person in the car. I have put holes in walls, not with my fist. You know, I use things, and when I get to a certain level, I just chunk stuff across the room. It just feels better. And all that energy just flies with whatever I just threw. And the last time I did that, I put a hole in the wall. I owed the apartment complex about $200. So, yeah, didn't get my deposit back on that one. But that's what it does. That's what emotional turmoil does. And when you are dwelling in that emotion, when you are dwelling in those past mistakes, how many of y'all have ever been in something and you're out of it now, but you sit here and you be like, dang, man. I shouldn't have did that. I wish I could have did something different. You go through those shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not being in the present. That's emotionally dwelling in the past. And that when you're in emotional turmoil, you can't think. You can't think, you can't work, you don't want to socialize with people, you become a hermit. And the deeper you get into it, the deeper you get into becoming an emotional hermit. And then you don't do everything becomes unpredictable. And then when you get hit with something, you don't know what to do. You freak out. So one of the ways that we can stay present when we are in emotional turmoil is to journal it out, give it a voice, and forgive yourself. I've realized that the theme to life is forgiveness, okay? The theme to life is forgiveness. The only way you can be in emotional turmoil is if you have not forgiven that person and you have not forgiven yourself. The next thing when it comes to dwelling in the past and transcending inconsistency is you got to stop comparing yourself, and you got to stop judging yourself. When you consistently compare your situation to past events and achievements, or your current situation to what used to be, that can lead to unrealistic expectations. It leads to self-criticism. That leads to causing inconsistency in your goals and your actions. Who here compares yourself to how you used to be or what you used to do?
You said it leads to some kind of expectations.
Oh, unrealistic.
Thank you.
Who here compares yourself to your siblings? Who here compares yourself to your friends? Who here surfs Facebook and look at your friends that you grew up with and look at all the pictures and how they're living your lives and be like, dang, man, if I would have, I would. Mm-hmm. Me and Grace the only two? Okay, good. We doing good today. All right, y'all. Come on. Yeah. Well, so I'm gonna have a conversation with Grace then. All right, so Grace, we gotta stop doing that. Because if we keep comparing ourselves to our siblings and our friends, we gonna always live in hell. Because look, let me tell y'all something. I used to do that so much. And when I did it, I went into this emotional state and I took it out on the people around me because I was angry and frustrated at myself. But as I got older, I realized, wait a minute. They doing as good as they post on social media. The grass may look greener, but is it really? And then when it comes to my siblings, you looking at what they doing, but you also know their life. That water bill may be high. They lights may be getting cut off. They may have several disconnection notices. They may just got fired. They may be going through a divorce. They may be single and wanting to be married. Yeah, they've been taking trips every month, but at what cost? You don't know their lives. So we have to stop comparing ourselves to them and then judging ourselves according to the comparison. Because every time we do that, when we get hit with something, it completely knocks us off course. But when we are okay with our, not okay, but when we are content with where we are and we are present in the moment, getting hit with the inconsistency won't bother us. It'll be like, oh, okay, well, that means I need to move forward. Or, okay, if I'm not getting hit with inconsistencies, I'm not moving. If I'm not getting hit, I'm not moving. So I'd rather get hit with inconsistencies on a consistent basis than just be sitting here being like, oh, life is good. Because life is good. Now let's talk about this self-judgment. Forgiveness is key. Forgiveness is the answer to life. Forgiveness is key because when I judge myself harder than anybody can ever judge me. How many of y'all are like that too? And what I realize is when I judge myself, I pause in my situations. Let me tell y'all a story. I've told this story before, and it's one of my favorite stories because it has like 150 quadrillion meanings that you can pull from it. But I'm about to talk to being stuck in your turmoil. So y'all have heard about the story about the girl who had a car accident during a storm. So much so to where it changed her driving habits. She no longer drove when it was raining. When the weather gets bad, she did not drive. Well, one day she was driving with her dad. Her dad was in the passenger seat. So first message is, on your journey, be careful who you have in your passenger seat. That's your first lesson. Be careful who you have in your passenger seat. Her dad was in the passenger seat and they were driving. And they were driving down the highway. And y'all know how we drive and all of a sudden rain comes out of nowhere. Like, I don't know how it is up in Baltimore, Uncle Romy Rome. I don't know how it is where you are, Miss Janice. I don't know how it is in Florida. But I know down here in Texas, it could be not a cloud in the sky. And you driving down 45. And all of a sudden you have a sheet of rain pouring down and you can't see a damn thing. That's what happened to her. She was driving. It was sunny. All of a sudden she got hit with a sheet of rain. And she got nervous and she looked at her dad. Remember, Be careful who you have in your passenger seat. She looked at her dad and she was like, hey, dad, I'm going to go ahead and pull this over real quick. He was like, no, keep driving. She's like, wait, what? She's like, no, wait a minute. Did you forget what happened the last time I drove in the rain? Now, she's having this conversation in her head because we all know we don't have those kind of conversations with our parents. You know, in our head, when we talking back, we talk back in our head when it comes to our parents. So in her head, she's like, man, what the hell you mean, dad? What you mean, keep driving? And then she verbally said, dad, it's raining. And he was like, I know, keep driving. And in her head, she like, dude, that ain't really what she said. But, you know, she was like, man, come on. Like, dad, it's raining. Did you forget? So she's in here driving. And now her nerves, she's in emotional turmoil. Her nerves are on its edges. She is gripping the steering wheel so tight to where her knuckles are turning white. This is the position she's in right now. But she's being obedient to her father. Exodus 14:14. She's being obedient to her father. And she's driving in the rain. But guess what happened? The rain got harder. It started getting harder for her to see. So she, dad, I'm pulling over. He is like, no. In the most soothing, calming voice, no, keep driving. Again, be careful who you have in your passenger seat. So she's still driving. But at this point, she is fuming. Because he knows what happened. He knows she had, dwelling on past experience, he knows she had a car accident. He knows how she gets when she drives now. He knows she's not supposed to drive through the rain because of what it does to her. So now, not only is she distracted from the present, but now she's going through all of this emotional turmoil. And she now has limited problem solving skills, because guess what? She's stuck reliving the car accident. But she keeps on driving. Her cheeks done turned red by this point. Her whole face is probably maroon because of the levels of anger that is flowing through her. And as she's driving, she sees all these cars on the side of the road, waiting out the rain, because it's gotten bad, y'all. It's gotten so bad. She went from driving 70 miles an hour to driving 20 miles an hour. How many of y'all knows how it feels to be going at full speed and then something hits you that knock you off course and you slow down? Mm-hmm. That's what happened. So she's driving and she's looking at all these people. And so she looks at her, she ain't look, because at this point, looking away from the looking away from the windshield wiper, the windshield is not, it ain't in her, that ain't something that's in her ministry at this point. So she's driving. And now she's very vocal. Dad, I'm finna pull over. You see all these people pulled over, dad? I'm finna pull over with them. And what does he say? Remember, be careful who you have in your passenger side, in your passenger seat. He say, no. And then he verbalized to her what she didn't think he realized. He said, I know you're scared, but keep driving. So she kept driving, and all of her pissivity, and all of her fear, and all of her worry, and all of everything going through her, she kept driving. When she got out the storm, her dad, remember, be careful who you have in your passenger seat, told her, now you can pull over. So she pulled over. She released the steering wheel. And y'all know how when you're gripping something so tight, when you go to release it, you have to do it slow because your hands are stuck in that position. Yeah, that's what she had to, in all of the, you know, the sounds it make, because your skin has become one with whatever you was gripping. So her skin became one with the steering wheel. So she's trying to let go and she doing all this. And then she had to shake her hands off and everything. She sat there, she said, dad. And see, at this point, this is when your communication and your problem solving go out the window when it comes to your parents and you forget that you they child. Dad, you knew how I felt about driving through the rain. And then now you want me to pull over? It's raining no more. And he said, calm down. I hear it. Y'all, I feel like I'm having this conversation with my dad, because first off, there would have been a facial expression like, you forget who you are. Like, you forget you my child. And that, and then that parental look they give you, that watch who you talking to and watch telling you. Yeah, I feel like that's, I feel like he completely just did not, like, that would have came from my dad. But I feel like her dad just completely realized he knew what she was, he knew where this was coming from. So he was cool, calm, and collected. Now, it's scary when your dad or your mama is cool, calm, and collected, and you just flipped on them. Okay. That is not healthy for you. But you have to remember who you have. Remember who you put in your passenger seat. Dad was in the passenger seat. The father was in the passenger seat. So he looked at her. He said, calm down. He said, I need you to do me a favor. Look back. So she turned back, and for the first time, she was in the present. And when she turned back, she noticed all of the cars still parked in the storm. And she turned around and she said, okay, so why are we parked here? He said, look ahead of you. And she did. Nothing but sunshine and blue sky. He said, you see all those people still parked back there? She said, yes, sir. He said, they decided to stay parked. They decided to park in the middle of their storm. So they are spending more time in their storm than they had to. He said, but where are you parked? He said, that's because you kept going. Regardless of what hit you, regardless of past experiences, you kept going. So you're out of your storm. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk to you today. I couldn't help it, Grace. I couldn't help it. But seriously, that's what happens when you dwell on the past and you get hit with an inconsistency. See?
All right, Bishop, too.
If she would have had the wrong person in the passenger side, she would have stayed stuck in her past. But because she had the father in her passenger side, because she had her father in the passenger side, she listened to what he told her to do. Exodus 14:14. Even though she had some stuff going on in her head, she shut up. She let him fight the battle and she kept driving. She was distracted from the present moment because she was dwelling on the past of the accident that happened that caused her to have fear when it came to driving in storms. Then when she hit the storm, she was going through the emotional turmoil of what happened in the past. So she couldn't deal with the inconsistency of the storm coming out of nowhere. So she was ready to pull over, but her passenger told her to keep moving forward. Her passenger was living in the present. She was dwelling in the past. That's why you have to be careful who you have in your passenger seat on your journey. Then she started comparing and doing self-judgment. She was so focused on that event. She was so, man, I shouldn't have been driving. Man, I shouldn't have did this. Man, I shouldn't have did that. She was so in self-judgment while she was in this drive. And y'all know we do this. When we hit an inconsistency, we go back into our head because we're remembering the last time we hit this inconsistency, what happened, whether we regretted decisions that we made, whether we had shame in the actions that we did, whether we were living in the guilt of it, whether we were sitting there having our shoulda, coulda, wouldas about it. We were still going through the process of the self-judgment. We were still going through the self-criticism. We set unrealistic expectations for ourselves. So when we hit inconsistency, and we're not in the present, we want to pause in our storm. But remember who you put in your passenger seat. That is extremely important. And then she was limited in her problem solving. She was so stuck in this car accident that she had in the rain where she was limited on her problem solving. Keep moving forward wasn't even a thought process for her to have, because in her thought process, it was park in the storm. But that only meant she was going to be in the storm longer than she was supposed to be. How many of you have parked in your storm because you had limited problem solving skills because you were still stuck in the emotional turmoil of what happened years ago? Go ahead, Prophet.
All right, Bishop number two, you're no longer Pinky. You know, Pinky knows a story about when I was 12 and it was raining and the car spinning. I got threw out of the car, busted sides of the head open. Then 2001, fell asleep and on the other side of the road, car flipped, smacked into a tree. Then 2005, I'm coming with the story. 2005, got into another car accident. So now, how bad I want to drive, I'm so scared to drive.
Ooh.
So you are talking there to the point where they're trying to teach me how to drive. In the next couple of weeks or so, they're trying to get things together. But in a way, I'm excited, but in a way, I'm not. So I know where you at when you come to that point.
But Prophet Jay, who gonna be in the passenger seat?
My Lord, help me.
That's, to me, that's the most important thing in life. Who do you have in your passenger seat? Do you have the homegirl that's gonna pause with you? Or do you have the father that's going to tell you to keep going? Who do you have in your passenger seat? Because when it comes to the inconsistencies of life, what I have learned in this life, and Antonio has taught it to us multiple times again, is that we have our garden. Then we have a shared garden with those we choose to share with. But everybody has their individual gardens, and we can also allow others to plant in our garden. So whoever you have in your passenger seat, how are they planting in your garden? And that determines if they're supposed to be in the passenger seat, if they're supposed to be in the back seat, or if they're even supposed to have a place in the car. Because you have your own life and inconsistencies to deal with. And the people who you share your garden with should be the same people who are going to tell you, keep driving. Not the ones that are going to say, pull over and keep you in your storm longer.
You know, that is so true, because just having Queen by my side, she would be like, baby, calm down. It's going to be all right. Just go ahead through it, because I'm here for you. You know, I hear that. Oh, I hear that so many times. That's impossible to count right now on both of my fingers and toes. But I hear that a lot. So when you say who is on your passenger side, you know what I'm saying? I would say it would be that father within Renette. You know what I'm saying? As in, she would be like, okay, you got this. Just calm down, take a breather, and go through it.
Hmm. Okay.
You women.
You men. But we love y'all, though. We love y'all so much. We love y'all so much. But that dwelling in the past will leave you when you get hit with the inconsistency. And what we're, for the rest of this class, we're going to call it inconsistency, the storm. The inconsistency is going to be the storm. So when we dwell in the past and we get hit with a storm, if we are not present where we are, that storm will pause us where we are. If we have not released the emotions, if we have not given the emotional turmoil within us a voice, and I'm a disclaimer this for y'all. You're not going to get it right the first time. And when you go through it the first time and you get through it the first time, that's not going to be the first time. It's going to come up on a regular basis because it's a part of the inconsistencies of life. And then you also have to battle the fact that this is something that you've been dealing with for years. Therefore, you have become addicted to the hormonal release, the hormonal and endorphin release that comes with the experience of that emotion. And what is alive will fight to stay alive. So while you're trying to release the anger is still alive in you. And because that anger from that event is still alive in you, it's going to fight to stay alive. You're like, no, Grace, I done been here for 42 years, fool. What you talking about? You want to do what with me? You want me to leave? Baby girl, we in this together. We've been in this together for 42 years. And now all of a sudden you 43 and you want to change. This ain't going to happen. Prophet, what you mean you want to drive now? We've been fearing driving for years. And now all of a sudden you want to be different. You want to drive now. Bro, we here. We've been in this together for some years. Now you think you're going to get rid of me that easy? Nah, this fear is here to stay. Romy Roll, what you mean you want to get rid of the anger with your sister? What you talking about? You know how we do this. Come on, Uncle Romy Wrong. You can't just let me go that easy. I'm going to stay around for a little longer. I'm going to come up when you least expect it. That's what these things do to us. But because Prophet Jerry gave his fear a voice, because Grace gave her anger a voice, because Uncle Romy Rome gave that frustration and that anger and that pissivity towards his sister a voice, when you can account for it, you can control it. And it's still going to creep up. Uncle Romy Rome has told us that many a times it has crept up. And when I tell you, I got to applaud Uncle Romy Rome, because some of the stuff that he done, I would have never did. Mm-mm. My sister would have got all my conversation. Oh, I would have read her rights every time. Every time she came for me, I would. So Uncle Romy Rome, I got to applaud you, because Uncle Romy Rome lives in the present. He don't have time for the distractions of the past. He don't have time for the emotional turmoil. He don't have time for all that stuff. And because...
If you're an entrepreneur or a business owner aiming to expand or manage your online presence, Dynadot is the perfect partner for you. At Dynadot, registering for a domain is not just easy, it's cost-effective. With services like their free domain privacy, free website builder, and free email address with every registration, along with the robust platform for domain investors to buy or sell domains, Dynadot matches the need of growing digital brands. Their tools are designed for everyone and require no technical knowledge whatsoever. Everything is built with accessibility in mind, from the advanced domain search to their intuitive website builder. On their platform, you'll find industry-low domain registration prices with domain extensions specifically for entrepreneurs like you who are ready to make their next big moves. Secure your website's domain name today with Dynadot and let your online journey take off. Visit Dynadot.com/success to get started. That's dynadot.com/success to get started. That's dynadot.com/success to get started.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He no longer lives and dwells in the past. His problem solving is on fleek. I don't know if they still say that. You know, it's been a while. I'm 40 now. I'm not sure, y'all. It's been a second. I don't even know if I said it right.
You did. You said it right.
Okay. Cool beans. You know. But who's in your passenger seat while you riding through this storm? Is it someone that's going to tell you pull over? Or is it someone that's going to tell you keep driving? That's why I follow Exodus 14:14. That's my God, my ancestors, the universe telling me keep driving. We got all this extra stuff that's full. We got the debris. We got the storm. You keep driving. We'll tear down the walls of Jericho. You just be ready to walk through them. And that's what living in the present looks like. That's how you battle the inconsistencies of life. If you live in the present and you live in forgiveness, inconsistencies is a spider crawling down your window. It's just there to annoy you. It ain't gonna hurt you. It's just this annoying presence of something that has to happen because it exists. Sheena so wisely said the other day? It was one of those days this week. All my days emerged. They really Monday. Are. Monday. Thank you, Grace. Monday. Sheena so wisely said Monday, we schedule our inconsistencies. Because the moment you decide to drive, Prophet, the inconsistency of the fear is going to kick in. You automatically scheduled the inconsistency. Uncle Romy Rome, he hid his inconsistency with his sister head on, and they had a conversation like siblings. And I don't know if y'all have ever had one of those conversations before, but it's a beautiful environment for the soul, where you can sit with your brother and your sister or your brothers and sisters and just talk. It's a conversation you can't have with friends. It's a conversation you can't have with your parents. It's only a conversation that you can have with somebody that share your blood, that came from the same womb. While we all came from the same womb, and because he was living in the present and not dwelling in the past, he was able to have that conversation with his sister. I think he said it was like a 2-hour conversation. A 3-hour conversation. Let me show y'all what living in the past and having a conversation with your siblings look like. They are coming to you to talk, to share with you their life. And you're sitting here and you're, the last time we had this conversation, this is what you was going through. I don't know why we're talking about it now. you ain't gonna learn from it. I don't know why he coming to me, talking to me. Ain't nothing I can do because I'm in a worse position than he is. Man, did I turn the stove off? Crap, I need to pay the bill. I need to put gas in the car. I don't feel like driving. That's what that conversation looks like when you're not in the present. But when you're in the present, this is what that conversation looks like. Because you listening. Because you present. I don't know about y'all, but I'm tired of dwelling on the past. I'm tired of being parked in my storms. Because I don't know if y'all have noticed, not just one storm comes at one time. So while you're driving through one storm, you're getting hit with another. You're driving through the rain and your gas light come on. You driving through the rain and your check engine light come on. You driving through the rain and you get a phone call that somebody's in the hospital. You driving through the rain and you get a phone call because somebody's screaming in the background because they done completely lost their mind because their boyfriend left them. Their girlfriend left them. Somebody passed away. Your uncle got arrested. Your auntie in jail. Those are all storms hitting you at the same time. But if you're not present, you won't be able to properly, what's the word I'm looking for? Process. You won't be able to properly process what's going on and how to handle them in the manner. Because the first thing you got to do is get through your storm. You can't help nobody in their storm and you still in your storm. That's why you have to keep going. Because when you're out of your storm, then you can park, turn back, and wave to everybody else so they can see you in the light. Dwelling in the past kills you when it comes to transcending inconsistency. Now, the other thing that can kill you when it comes to your inconsistency is worrying about the future. But you didn't think that one was going to come up. Worrying about the future contributes to not being able to battle the inconsistencies in your life because you're always living in anxiety and stress. How many of y'all deal with anxiety and stress on a daily basis? Yeah, that's because we're worrying about the future. Then you go into this overthinking process, or you get stuck because you're going through the analysis paralysis process. You're overthinking potential future scenarios. And what this does is this can lead to indecision and inaction, causing
at Moore Regional Hospital to come see me today. I want you to come see me, but not today. You doing too much.
I love you too, Prophet. I love you too. When you worry about the future, you have anxiety. I've been there, y'all. I've gone days without eating. I've had knots in my stomach. Not recently. I have been doing pretty good recently. I have released a lot of anxiety and stress because I've been spending more time being in the present. But you put yourself through anxiety and stress. Then you overthink stuff. Then you start analyzing stuff. And then you pause. Because you don't know what decision to make. So you don't make no decisions. Then you set unrealistic expectations for yourself. You know, the goal setting process where you're supposed to set realistic expectations? Yeah, some of us don't think like that. See, I'm a kid. I set unrealistic expectations because I expect to reach them. I expect to film 3 movies in 1 year. That is unrealistic because I ain't never did an acting job in my life. But I'll be damned, you're going to see me on the big screen somewhere. But I don't dwell in that. That is one of those things that I put out into the universe. And then when I start putting emotion behind it, the universe gonna make it happen. But you said, but the one thing about when you worry about the future, when it comes to inconsistency, is not only do you do these things to yourself, but you do them to the ones closest to you. You set unrealistic expectations for yourself, for your relationships, for your marriages, for your children, for those closest to you. You set unrealistic expectations, and in doing that, you make it harder to adapt to the changing circumstances. And that results in inconsistent behavior. Like, one minute you're telling yourself, I'm finna push out 100 videos this week, and you only push out 2. Because you set the unrealistic expectation of 100 and you didn't realize it was going to take 2 to 3 hours just to edit, to put the video together and to edit it and to master it. You didn't think about all of that. So because you didn't think about all of that, you stopped, you parked in your storm. So how do we release this anxiety and stress? How do we stop overthinking? How do we not make unrealistic expectations? You live in the present and you enjoy every moment. Prophet, yes, you are in a hospital, but if you are in the present, you're going to enjoy the fact that you can still breathe. That you're still, as Grace say, you still above ground and not below. I mean, Prophet, you're married. Did you ever expect to be married? With a wife who supports you and loves your dirty draws. Y'all know this is just an expression, Uncle Rummy Rum. You know what I was trying to say. But that's because at some point in your life, you stopped overthinking. You stopped worrying. You stopped setting unrealistic expectations and you lived in the present. And when you lived in the present, you received your present. When we worry about the future, when we dwell in the past, when we get hit with the storms of life, we park in them because we don't know how to handle them. But if you live in the present, when you get hit with a storm, you're like, okay, well, God's watering the grass today. Well, my car is getting washed today. That used to be my favorite one because I never really washed my car on a consistent basis. So when it rained, I was like, whoo, Candy, get in the shower. I'm so happy. That was the name of my first car, Candy. She was this little maroon, little car my dad got me. I was so excited too, y'all. I was 17 with a car. Y'all know I was big boss in my senior year. the only kid out of all the church youth, the only one with a car, man, we was riding 8 deep. In a little compact car. Got 2 people in the passenger side with the seatbelt on. Like 5 of them in the backseat sharing seatbelts. I'm in the passenger. I was horrible, y'all. I was so horrible. Lord, I don't know how we did it, but we did it. But Candy getting a shower today. God's watering the flowers. Maybe God has some tears he needs to release. So he's releasing them on us to cleanse the earth. These are my thoughts. When I love rain. I go play it. It's refreshing to me. It's like being showered by God. I love the rain. But when you dwell in the past and you worry about the future, you don't live in the present and you don't get to enjoy the present of what's happening in the day. I started this off with, I realized I've missed 8 years of my son's life because I've either been dwelling in the past or worried about the future. I've never been in the present. I've missed 90% of what he's going through. Because when I have him, I'm worried about the future. When I don't have him, I'm stuck in the past. Man, I miss him. Man, I wish he was here. And then when he's here, man, I got to do this for him. I'm never just with him. And when I'm with him, life is wonderful. I don't miss anything. So one of the ways to transcend inconsistency is living in the present. And I'm sure y'all wondering, okay, so how do we do this? You done gave us all this, gave us this story talking about the storm and who in your past and your seat and all this extra stuff. How are we supposed to live in the present? Well, the first thing you need to do is meditate/pray. Meditation or prayer, a regular practice, helps to train the mind to focus on the present moment. See, when I first started meditating, I had a whole movie playing through my head. I ain't even gonna lie to y'all. I sit there, I'm like, okay. I wonder how I'm gonna do that. Like that, just instantly. What meditation does is it makes you focus on clearing your mind. And it's a mindfulness technique. And what it does is it encourages you to observe the thoughts without judgment. Without focusing on the past or the future. You're just in the present. Think about it. When you pray, you're in the present talking to God. You're not focused on the past. You're not focused on the future. You're in a conversation with your Father, and you're only focused on that conversation, that one thing. Meditation is the same way. When I meditate, I focus on being dumb. I focus on having not one thing flowing through my head. So to help me, I have a vibration playing in the background. So I'm only focused on a certain tone. One thing. I'm focused on one thing. So meditation helps. Deep breathing, what it does is it slows. It fills your lungs with oxygen, like the proper amount of oxygen that you're supposed to have. It slows your heart rate. It calms you and soothes you so you can focus. And in the breathing, you don't breathe from your chest. You literally breathe from your gut. When you inhale, imagine your belly button going all the way out. Your stomach expanding so much, your belly button goes all the way out. Then when you exhale, imagine your belly button touching your spine. Because y'all know when we breathe from the, well, some people, we breathe from the chest. No. You breathe from your gut. And you inhale so much to where you can't inhale anymore. Let your stomach expand. Then you exhale so much so to where it feels like your belly button is about to touch your spine. Do that a few times and see if you can stay angry. Do that a few times and see if you still in your anxiety and your stress. Trust me, it works. I've done it while driving. I've done it on the call and ain't nobody know. I'll just be sitting here. And nobody knows. But what the breathing technique, the deep breathing, what it does is it calms you and slows you and soothes you and put you in a calm state so you can be present, so you can make the decisions you need to make. Then another thing that you can do to stay present is do a body stand, body scan, S-C-A-N, a body scan. Do a mental scan of your body, paying attention to the physical sensations. What this does is it promotes awareness of the present moment and helps you release tension. So when you sit there, you're like, okay, here, I got some grace. Okay. My head is throbbing a little bit. Got a little sinus going on, but I can kill that real quick. Okay. I can still smell. I can see. Got a little blurredness going on right now, but I can see. Lips a little dry. You put some chapstick on. Okay. Got a little tension in my neck. That's how I know it's a sinus headache. All right. Heart's still there. I'm still breathing. Still standing. All right. My gut's sticking out a little bit, but it's there. So I'm doing good there. Okay. Just, you know, go through the process. And what this does is put you in the present, you know. So do the body scan and then engage your senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, textures, everything around you. Bring your attention to the present environment. Remember, there's a test that Antonio always does. He's like, pause and smell your room. You've been in your room so much so to where your senses pretty much put that in the back of your head. That's not a focus for you anymore. You're not focused on how the room smells, but to bring yourself to the present, smell your room. And speaking of smelling your room, I need to change my Scentsy because I can't smell it anymore. I'll do that after this call. And, you know, what do you see around you? What are you smelling? What are you hearing? You know what? I don't know about y'all. Grace will catch me when I say this. Oh, smells really good in Starbucks. I bet it does. When I eat, I'm in the present, and I'm explaining to you why. Because I engage my smell, my taste, and my texture. Because the food I'm about to eat, I pause everything. Because when I eat, I want to enjoy my food. I like to eat. You can look at me and tell that I've invested years of food into myself. And I'm happy with that, okay? But every time I take a bite of something, I can smell my food before I eat it. I'm listening to the sounds around me. I am enjoying the present. If we recreate that emotion and everything else, then we will always stay present. Practice gratitude is another way to stay present. Reflect on the things you're grateful for in your life. What this does is this helps you shift the focus from past regrets or future worries to the positive aspects of the present. That's what that does. That's why gratitude is so important, because I'll tell you something else. Grace, check your line app for your notes. You may have to go back and number them though and keep that format. But practice gratitude. Gratitude keeps you in a positive place. And then due to the laws of this universe, you attract more positive to you. And the more positive you attract to you, the inconsistencies that hit you, the storms that come your way, you're going to be like, oh, that's cute. That's all you got today? Actually, no, do not taunt God. Please don't. I'm a firm believer that God has a sense of humor. So if you decide that you want to be like, oh, that's cute, God gone with your little storm. Okay. Watch what happened. I'm a firm believer that God has a sense of humor. I'm a firm believer. You be like, I got this. And he's going to be like, well, watch this. No, sir. I'm not finna play with God. I'm not doing that. So please don't taunt God. But when you have nothing but gratitude coming at you, all you see is positive. The storm that comes is just going to be a trickle in the night. You know how you sleep and a storm hit and then in the morning it's gone? That's what it's going to be like. You ain't even know the storm was there. That's the importance of practicing gratitude. You won't even know the storm is there. Another way to stay present is to limit your multitasking. Yeah. I haven't mastered that one yet, y'all. But focus on one thing at a time. Immerse yourself in it. What that does is it helps prevent distractions from past or present. And what it does is it promotes consistency in your actions. Let me tell y'all something. When I do dive deep into something, I forget to eat. And it's not intentional. It's just I'm so immersed in what I'm doing that hunger really doesn't strike. Like it gets to that point of, okay, I'm nauseous. I have to eat now. But I'll be so in something where the hunger really doesn't come. And then you'll notice that the hunger comes as you're completing the task. So don't multitask. And that's with life. When you are with your family, don't multitask. I understand now why they say, turn off your, my brother is very adamant about this. He will stop talking to you until you put down your phone. If we're at dinner and a phone is on the table, he will not say anything. And you'll be talking and he'll just be sitting there looking at you. And once you realize that he's just staring at you and he's not speaking and you ask him what's wrong, he's like, I'm just waiting for you to put your phone up. You see, with me, he knows. I tell Antonio where I'm at. So if anything happens, he knows where I'm at. So my brother knows that Antonio's already been informed. If Don is not with me and he's with his dad, I don't keep my phone on me because he's with his dad. His dad has the capacity and the capability of taking care of his child. I don't need to keep my phone on me 24/7 if he's with his dad. Now, if he's with anybody else, I keep my phone on me. Not that I don't trust them, but I'm the parent. I'm the responsible parent at the time. So I need to keep my phone on me. So if my brother knows that Antonio knows where we are and I don't have Don, and that phone is on the table, he will sit there and wait for me to put my phone up. And now I understand because he wants me present while I'm spending time with him. And I get that now. Limit your multitasking. The other thing that you can do to help you battle the storms is acceptance and letting go. A way to live in the present is acceptance and letting go. Practice accepting the past without dwelling on it. Give it a voice. Allow your past to be heard, past pains, past experiences. You also, forgiveness, I told you, forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness, I don't care what nobody said. Yes, love is the key to life. But I'm a firm believer that forgiveness is the key to life. If you walk in forgiveness every second of every minute of every hour of every day, when you get hit with a storm, that's not going to bother you. Like, I forgive you, storm, and go on about your business. But accept the past without dwelling on it. And acknowledge that the future is uncertain. This part, this y'all, this one, This one, I was three months old. Today's August, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. Ah, yes. I was 3 months old when I let go of the need to control everything. And forgiveness is the highest form of love. So if you walk in forgiveness, you're walking in the highest form of love. And that's a part of acceptance and letting go. Forgive. When you're accepting the past without dwelling on it, you're forgiving the past. When you acknowledge that the future is uncertain, you're living in the present because you're letting it go. You can't change the past. You can't control the future, but you can definitely be happy in the present. I never really understood that until I got older. I can't get in a time machine and go backwards and change. I can't change the past. So the best thing I can do is accept that it happened, learn the lesson from it, forgive, and move. I have no freaking clue what's going to happen in the future. So the best I can do is just wait for it to happen. But this present thing, I'm in it now. So since I'm in it now, let me be in the present. Because if I'm in the present, whatever storm hits me, I will be capable of handling it. I don't need to control everything. The only thing I need to control is myself. I can't control Grace. I can't control Miss Janice. I can't control Miss Brenda. I can't control Antonio. But what I can do is I can control how I respond to each of you. Heck, I can't control Don. But what I can do is control how I respond to him to teach him how to control how he responds to others. And that is what he and I are actually going through in the present. How he controls his response. Because between me and y'all, he has no control over himself. And he get that from mommy. I told you I was 3 months old. And I figured that out. And then mindful activities. Engage in activities that require your full attention, like painting, cooking, playing a musical instrument. Miss Janice has a karaoke, and trust me, that requires her full attention. You know what? I'm gonna go back to doing my puzzles. Because that requires my full attention. I color. I have a coloring book. Well, actually, I have multiple coloring books. This whole bag right here is full of over 100 color pencils. Over 100 different colors. It's exactly 120 to be exact. So I have to be fully engaged so I can choose the right color. I can't be multitasking while I'm coloring. I'm going to pick the wrong color. Then it's not going to flow. Picture have to look a certain way. I have like 4 different coloring books. And then I actually started coloring in Ibrahim's book. If y'all got Ibrahim's book with his drawings, I actually started coloring the little drawings. So they have like little colors in them. It's pretty fun, actually. It really is. Making them colorful. But do a mindful activity, something that it requires your full attention. And when you do these things, put your phone down. When you're with family, be with family. Put your phone down. Don't worry about what Pamela is doing on Facebook. Don't worry about what Xavier did a week ago and posted. Don't worry about all that. Mindful activities. Now, remember that cultivating mindfulness and staying present is a skill that takes time and it takes practice. And over time, these skills can help reduce the inconsistency in your life and help you find some of that inner peace. But I want to thank all of you for joining me, and hopefully I have helped you guys get closer to transcending inconsistency, but I definitely wanted to talk about living in the present. It's something that Antonio talks to us, well, I'm not going to say talk to us. It's something he tells me quite often. Be present where your feet are. Grace knows what I'm talking about because, you know, she's gotten that message a few times herself. Y'all have heard him on the call say no multitasking. He be talking to me and Grace. Actually, no. I'm going to keep you out of this. He be talking to me. I'm not going to put that on Grace. He be talking to me. He be talking to me. Y'all see his facial expression. He be talking to me because I be multitasking like it ain't nothing. I'll be in the class, sending emails, checking emails, working, like actually doing work. But there are times where I've been in the present where my feet are, in the class, and have come up with the most amazing things. And you will be seeing these things coming soon, starting this year, actually starting this month in, oh snap, in 6 days, actually. You'll see the first of these things in 6 days. And then you'll see the second of these things starting on the 31st. And in between that time, you'll see more things coming up. But when I am present, excuse my language, when I'm present, I'm the shit. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, I said it. I said it. When I am present, I am the shit. I am. I know I am. But think about it. When you're in the present, you get so much. You get the downloads. You hear Antonio, you've heard Sheena, you've heard Damali, you've heard Talisha talk about downloads. That's because they were in the present. They were in the present. And because they were in the present, they were in a mental condition to receive. So I hope this has helped you guys when it comes to battling the storms of your life. And always remember who you put in your passenger seat is really important. Are they going to tell you to keep moving through your storm? Or are they going to agree with you and have you park and be in your storm longer than you should be? Thank you all so much for joining us this morning. You can plant better. You can dominate. Grace,
Before you go, Before we go, hey, tomorrow is the day, okay? Tomorrow's the day. So if you don't have your ticket, get your ticket today, okay? $49, because tomorrow it goes up to 97, okay? It goes up. So get your tickets today. Exploring alignment is going to be, I don't have a word for it, okay? That's how big it's going to be. I don't have a word for it.
All of you that have tickets, Deanna, Grace is actually Deanna, you're going to do it because Grace is going to be with me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I need their emails, like whatever email they want, because they're going to be automatically registered. That's all I'm going to say.
And hold on, while we are on the call, give me 1 second. Give me one moment. You have all their names and emails now.
All right. So, ladies and gents, if you haven't gotten around to getting your ticket, get it. If I were you, I would get it today.
I want to see y'all. It's going to be fun.
It is. Okay. We got a sneak peek last Thursday. Okay. So, come on.
And there's more to come.
Okay. So, if you notice,
that's the only thing through Zoom. The rest of it is in 4K.
Right. If you notice, the time of the event, the conference,
There's a time during the morning meeting on Thursday. So come on, get your ticket so you don't have to miss it. All right, that's all I'm gonna say. That's all I got.
All right. And do we have anything else? It's Wednesday. Do we have
it's Wednesday? So no, yeah. I know there's no pain 2020 because Prophet Jay is in the hospital.
But we'll still have the morning meeting. We'll still have the morning meeting. It won't.
Oh, okay.
It won't conflict.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right.
I did want to ask Uncle Rummy Rome if he could say a prayer for Prophet. I know I'm putting you on blast.
Sure, it's not a problem, but I just discovered he's in the hospital now, so, but I can pray for him. Prayer ain't no problem.
Let us pray.
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, dear Lord. We will especially put Prophet Jay on the altar. He is under the care of the doctors, and I do not know why he's there, dear Lord, but I know you know why he's there. I thank you, dear Lord, we got an opportunity to hear from him this morning, and I thank you, dear Lord, for his spirit, because he was participating, he was part of our session, and yet he's still in the hospital being taken care of. So, dear Lord, we just ask you to cover him, cover his wife, dear Lord, cover his household, dear Lord, and to bring him back to where he needs to be, dear Lord, so we can get that Prophet Jay that we're used to, dear Lord. And we ask these and all blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Uncle Rummy Rome. All right, everybody. We love y'all. See y'all tomorrow.
Love you more.
See you on the flip
side. Love you more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.